And I am preaching on Sunday nights on the I am statements in the book of John. We have tonight and two more, the seven I am statements. And all that you hear in these I am statements is what he wants to be to you and what he wants to do for you. The I am changes who I am. Say that with me. The I am changes who I am. I'd like to roll through those very quickly, Brother Blue. Thumbs up when you're ready. John 6 and 35. Say it with me, church. I am the bread of life. John 8 and 12. John 10 and 9. John 10 and 11. We're going to skip one because I'm going to preach on it. John 11, 25. Is that up there? I am the way, the resurrection, and the life. Now go to John 14 and 6. We there? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then the last one, John 15 and 1. I am the true vine. Amen. Now turn to John chapter 11 and verse, John chapter 11 and verse number 17. I told you wrong. John chapter 11 and verse 17. I want you to stand with me tonight as I take you to a place where it seemed like the Lord had forgotten. It seemed like that he was even late, too late to do anything. How many of you know it's never too late for God? Amen. John chapter 11, verse 17 through 26. If you're there, say amen. Verse 17, Jesus came. He found that Lazarus had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now, Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Verse 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it to thee. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Now Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Somebody say, today. I want you to remember that. Verse 25, and Jesus said unto her, read it out loud, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Verse 26, together. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Lord, thank you for the resurrection and the life. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Lord, anoint, and we'll praise you for it. And everybody said, amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're in the right place, and you may be seated tonight. The I am statements, remember, all that Jesus wants to be to me and all that Jesus wants to do for me can be found in the seven I am statements of Jesus Christ found in the book of John. Tonight we come to I am the resurrection and the life. Say that with me. I am the resurrection and the life. Now, in the last few years, when you peruse through television broadcast and see some of the movie listings, there's a strange cultural phenomenon with something that is called a zombie. Now, just by show of hands, when I say the word zombie, do you know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand. All right, you can put your hands down. What we're meaning, for those of you that didn't raise your hand, is a zombie are people who have died. But for some reason, they're still walking and talking, and, you know, it's getting close to Halloween, and you'll see some of these costumes, and they're kind of in a half state of mind, and they usually are depicted with rotten clothes and blood and things like that. They're quite unpleasant to look at, but a lot of TV shows have dealt with zombies, or movies have dealt with zombies. Now, I'm sure that when Lazarus came out of that grave after he had been in there 4 days, they might not have known the term zombie, but they probably thought, if they were living in this time, that I'm seeing a real life zombie. I mean, but the truth of the matter is that zombies are still dead. But this zombie, Lazarus, was fully and completely and totally alive. Can't you say amen tonight? Because this is the fifth time, the fifth statement, when Jesus looked and said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I'm not going to be a zombie in the sweet by and by. I'm going to have a resurrection body. I'm going to be glorified, and I shall see him, and I'll be like him, for I shall see him like he is. Somebody praise the I am tonight for him raising you from the dead. Now, people say that there are two things are always certain in life. Those two things are what? Death and taxes. And for those of you millennials and younger who don't know what taxes are, that is what you pay for others to live for free. Amen. Come on now. Death and taxes. Now, I'm not sure about taxes for all eternity, but I will tell you that death is certain. Go to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. It is appointed unto man. What does it say? Once to die, but after this, the judgment. In fact, you need to think about that tonight. It is appointed unto man, which means there is a time. You have an appointment on the clock. It may be tonight. It may be 15 years from tonight, but I promise you that appointment is coming. Tick tock, tick tock. Every breath we draw, every heartbeat that palpitates, I want you to know is one step closer to that appointment. And you need to be ready for that appointment. You need to be ready for that appointment if it happens in this hour. You need to be ready for that appointment should it happen many, many decades from now. For it is appointed unto man once to die. We must understand that life, the brevity of life. What am I but a shadow? What am I here today, gone tomorrow? It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Death is certain. And to an extent, we're to certain degrees, we're all have some fear of death, some fear. Now, some of you may be strong in the Lord, and your fear of death may be on a one level. But some of you may be weak in the Lord, and your fear of death is on a 100 level. But somewhere in there, from the greatest saint among us to the further sinner from Calvary, everyone dreads that thing called death. I heard about a woman who went to her pastor and said, Pastor, I'm so scared. My husband says he will kill me if I keep coming to this church. The pastor said, have faith and don't be afraid. God will take care of you. She came back many times and said, Pastor, it's getting worse. He has threatened to kill me if I keep coming here. He doesn't like it. He said to his parishioner, my dear sister, don't be afraid. Have faith in God. God will watch over you. And then one day she came to church and said, Pastor, you'll never believe what my husband said. He said, if I don't stop coming to this church, he was going to kill the preacher. And the pastor looked back and said, well, my sister, you may need to find another church now. To some degree, we have a fear of death. But tonight, when it comes to death, when it comes to the grave, when it comes to the cold, chilling hand of the grim reaper, when it comes to the judgment to come, when it comes to the death even of your dreams and hopes, I want you to know that there is one standing in our midst, and his name is Jesus, and he has something to say about death, and he has something to say about our dreams and our hopes that have died, and our bodies that are dying. He says loudly and boldly, I am the resurrection and the life. Somebody give him a hand of praise tonight. He is the resurrection and the life. Now, I want to give you three contexts of this passage tonight. The historical context, first of all, tonight, and then the redemptive context, and then the eternal context. First of all, let's go back to history. Let's go back to history. Some of you may not be familiar with Lazarus. Please understand that Jesus had heard that Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, dear friends of Jesus, when you study, they were closely intimate friends with Jesus, that he was sick, and they were calling for Jesus to come and pray for him because he was going to die if something didn't happen. However, instead of coming, Jesus delayed. Now, his disciples thought that that was strange and urged him to go. But Jesus said, listen, there's a purpose in me not going. Until finally word came that Lazarus had died. So Jesus finally arrives at the tomb. Listen to this. 4 days after he's dead. Turn around and tell somebody, 4 days. Come on. And Mary was a little upset and said, if you had been here. Sounds like some parishioners at times when the pastor doesn't come right at the beck and call. But if you had been here. And that's when Jesus says to her, hey, I am. Let me just tell you. I am means I am here, I am there, I am everywhere. And he tells them to roll away the stone. And by the way, that's another sermon. Roll away the stone. Talk about Paul Jackson, man. 1 year at Living Waters, I'm telling you, on a Sunday morning, he preached, roll away the stone. Won't ever forget that service many years ago, right here when this was Living Waters. And then when he rolled away the stone, the Bible says he wept. He wept because of the friendship he had with the family. He wept because of their lack of faith. He probably wept because of Lazarus' fate, that he died once and he'll have to die again. And so we don't know the reasons why, the tears of the master, but he looked into that rolled away stone and he said those words, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says, here comes Lazarus hopping. I see a dead man walking. I see what looks like as a zombie, but oh no, he's very much alive. Somebody give him praise here tonight that Jesus said, come forth. Now, understand historically that this happened. And there's two things I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about John chapter 11, verse 6. And I want to hone in on this for a moment because I just skipped over it a few minutes ago. It says, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Somebody say, he's in the same place where he was. God doesn't lift. He's right there when we need him. Amen. He is omnipresent. That means he is everywhere. You can't be everywhere at one time. He can be here tonight and he can be at another church tonight, wherever two or three are gathered in his name. And he's in the ICU of the top story of the most prestigious hospital in America. He is there. Get it in your mind. That's where they missed it. They were looking for flesh and blood, but God is not flesh and blood. He was for those moments when he walked this dusty shore of Galilee, but he transcended that flesh and blood. He is omnipresent. The Lord, the psalmist said, is a present help in the time of need. Do you not know that he said to this one and that one, speak the word only and thy servant will be made whole. You go back home. All they had to do was see what he'd already done. All he had to do was from where he was say, Lazarus, come forth, or Lazarus died. God, he didn't have to be there in flesh and blood. Friend, he's there right now, all the time, everywhere. And when you think he's delayed, he is not delayed. He is always on time. Somebody give him praise here tonight. Lord, if you'd been here, can I tell you, he was there. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And they said that, and by the way, there are times when it seems like God delays answers to prayer. I will admit that. There's things I'm still praying for that God has delayed for whatever purpose. But let me tell you, when God delays an answer to prayer, there is a purpose. Amen. Come on. Someone said when God permits his children to go through the furnace, he keeps his eye on the clock, his hand on the thermostat, and his loving heart knows how much and how long. And it seems like things may be getting worse. Seems like death is fast approaching. If something doesn't happen, have you ever said that before? If something doesn't happen, we don't know what we're going to do. But can I tell you, something has already happened. He died on that cross. He stood at that grave. And I'm here to tell you something's already happened. It's not too late. Turn around and tell your neighbor, it's not too late. God is still working. Well, you don't know what I just went through. You don't know what the doctor said. You don't know what the lawyer said. You don't know what people have said. But I know what he said. I am the resurrection and the life. If it seems like there's a delay, there is really in God's eyes no time. Can you say? Amen. Oh, he is all, turn around, tell somebody he's right on time. Even when he seems to be 4 days late, he's right on time. He's an on time God. Yes, he is. I said he may not be there when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. Somebody praise him that he's an on time God. Say with me, it's not too late. It's not too late for what God wants to do in your life. Now, I want you to understand that he delayed, but Lazarus did die. He did truly, historically die. In fact, John chapter 11, verse 14, Jesus said, Lazarus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now, the truth of the matter is that sometimes things die. Sometimes marriages die. Sometimes ministries die. Sometimes our dreams die. Finances, bankruptcy. But listen, here is the glorious truth of the matter. Is that from this story, that if your situation seems dead, even if your loved one is in the grave and is dead in this world, no matter how hopeless it seems, Jesus is the I Am, and things that have died, are going to come to life again. I want you to know death is not the end. It's just a new beginning. Amen? How many of you remember Pastor Ezekiel being assigned to the first church of the dry bones? His deacon board were a bunch of rib cages. His Sunday school teachers were ankle bones. Come on now. His associate pastor was a hard-headed skull. Come on now. Pastor, aren't you glad your associate's not like that? Amen. I'm a yes, sir, let's do it, associate. The way I operate. Amen. Amen. But he had a tough church there. And I mean, no salary, no parsonage, no building. I mean, I tell you, if you want to just go down to Falcon and if your faith is low, it'll get lower. When these preachers talk about how hard it is in these places. Just throw out the Bible. I mean, just preach history or something. But friend, I'm telling you that Ezekiel got into a bunch of bones. I mean, dusty, you know, bones are not pretty. Right? They're not pretty. I mean, you don't want to see a skull. I mean, it doesn't look good. It's like, I mean, they're just laying around. I mean, no potential, no future. And the Lord said to Ezekiel, and I'm going to tell you something. That's where the miracle started. When God starts talking, brother, things are going to happen. Amen. He didn't hear what the bishop said. He heard from a, can these bones live? Can my second half be greater than my first half? I don't care what bones are laying in your history or or what happened yesterday. These bones can live. Can these bones of my dreams, can the bones of God's calling? I want you to know, Ezekiel, what are you supposed to do, Ezekiel? Prophesy. What does prophesy mean? It means proclaim the word of God. And Ezekiel began to say, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I'm about to run this out tonight. I want you to know that as he spoke, he could have said very plainly, oh, bones, come forth. You need to say to your body, you need to say to that doctor, you need to say to that impossibility, I'm coming forth. Somebody give him a hand of praise here tonight. It's dead, but is it dead? Come on. Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, his daughter died. Jesus said, oh, she's just sleeping, and raised her from the dead. The widow's son in Nain in Luke 7, he was in the casket on the way to the funeral. Put yourself in Lazarus. Now, I want us to think if you're Lazarus now. We always talk about Lazarus, and we always talk about Jesus at Lazarus' tomb. But I want us to make ourselves Lazarus tonight. So let's pretend we're Lazarus. All of a sudden, you start feeling sick. And then, before you know it, you're on the bed. Before you know it, you're dying. And then as you're dying, you're Lazarus and you're hoping. I have a friend named Jesus. Is he here yet? He hears footsteps at the house and commotion around the door. And maybe he thinks, well, he's finally come. But then it gets worse and Lazarus dies. And then all is black. And who knows what happens? But then all of a sudden, he finds himself coming to. And then all of a sudden he probably thinks, it's cold in here. And then he says, I feel something moving. And then he's like, I got to get up. And He's like, I can't really see. And so he gets up and all of a sudden people are cheering and people are praising God and take off the grave clothes because Lazarus has resurrected. Hallelujah. My friend, I want to tell you that God is set. He is up to something when you're down to nothing. It's not over until God says it's over, and it's never over as far as God is concerned. Say amen tonight. That's history. But let's talk about redemption. Let's talk about redemption, because let me tell you, what Lazarus went through is what we go through, not physically all the time, but we definitely have gone through this process spiritually. What do you mean? What do you mean? Because please understand that Jesus said in John 11:14, Jesus said unto them, Lazarus is what? And I want you to know that without Jesus Christ in your life, you're spiritually dead. You're spiritually dead. Go to Ephesians 2:4-6. Ephesians 2 says, God, who is rich in mercy, wherein he hath loved us, that even though we were dead because of our sins, has given us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, where we are united with Christ Jesus. Go to 1 Timothy 5:6. That scripture I just read says this: without Jesus Christ, you're a zombie spiritually. Come on now. 1 Timothy 5:6. It says, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. I don't have time to give the context of that scripture, but basically there is a way to be alive physically and be very dead spiritually. You may have a lot of money, but if you don't have Jesus, you're dead. You may have power and prestige and politics, but if you're not saved, you're dead. You may have everything in the world, but without Jesus, you are dead. You may have that wonderful relationship, but if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're dead. We are dead without Jesus, spiritually speaking. And the church said, but that dead, spiritually speaking person comes to church. And go to John 11:43. It says, and when he had thus spoken, somebody say spoken, he cried out with a loud voice. What did he say? Lazarus, come forth. And so Lazarus is dead physically, and he hears a voice, and he gets raised from the dead through the voice. And that's what happens with the person spiritually. When you're dead spiritually, what happens? You hear the voice of what? The preacher. The Bible says that God uses the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The Bible says, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear except there is a preacher? And I want you to know that I was dead in trespasses and sins, but I heard a preacher preach, and it called me forth, and I asked the Lord to forgive me. And I, who was a zombie, and I, who was spiritually dead, when I heard the word of God, repent and believe, I was resurrected. I became born again. Turn around and tell somebody, I've been born again. I am alive in Christ Jesus. But now, wait a minute. Lazarus rose from the dead, but he still has some issues, didn't he? Look at John 11:44. It says, and when he was dead, he came forth bound, hand and foot with what? And his face was bound about with a napkin. But Jesus said unto him, woo, loose him. And let him go. Now, wait a minute. He's alive. He's been saved. But still got some issues. And you know, when you get people saved, you still going to have some issues. Come on now. In fact, there's some of you that's been saved for 50 years and we still have some issues we got to work on. Including this one right here. But it doesn't mean you're not alive. It doesn't mean you're not saved. I've heard people say, oh, Brother Ricky, I got saved last Sunday, but I had a temptation and I must not have really got saved. Yes, you did. Because if you got saved, if you hadn't got saved, you wouldn't have got tempted. You'd have just plunged on in. You would have thought twice about it. It's when You know, you when you feel the, there's those grave clothes on and you're bound. You still maybe have some drugs you've got to get free from. You still got some relationships, the way you talk, maybe a curse word will slip up and you're like, why did I say that? It's because you still got some grave clothes on. But I'm here to tell you, that's why we believe in sanctification, because not only will God save you, praise God, He'll cut the grave clothes off of your old past and you will be free and you'll look a lot better than them zombies on TV. I promise you, somebody give him a hand of praise here tonight. If you're free. By the way, don't let nobody put grave clothes on you. Don't get hurt in church and quit singing because somebody hurt my feelings. You know what you're doing? You're wrapping yourself back up in those grave clothes. You're restricting what God wants to do in your life. Well, then what else? Lazarus was dead. Say dead. Lazarus was resurrected. Say resurrected. At what? The hearing of God's word. Say God's word. Somebody say he was bound and needed to be free. Oh, now look at what Lazarus is doing now. Go to John chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. John chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been what? Whom he raised from the dead. Verse 2, what were they doing? And they made him a supper, and Martha served, and Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table. Ooh, he went from being bound and dead. Now he's at the table feasting and rejoicing. Friend, this is a Cracker Barrel moment if I've ever seen one. This is Lazarus saying, give me some more biscuit and jelly. Oh, hallelujah. Fill that tea up again. Why? Because, man, it was dead a few weeks ago. But now I'm sitting at Shoney's. Now I'm at the buffet. Now I've come and dined, the master calleth. I'm feasting. I'm rejoicing with joy unspeakable. And that's what happens with us when God raises us from the dead spiritually and we hear the word and he sets us free. Then we shout and praise God. And by the way, if you don't shout and praise God and feast, that's your fault. Amen. Oh, he's got a table of blessings spread out for you. Oh, some of you, Sister Teresa, our first lady, she invites me over. I'm not going to argue with her. Amen. I'm going to pull up to that table. Anybody been to her house and eat from her table? I have. And I'll tell you, it's good, good, good. Amen. Hallelujah. When Jesus says, I'm going to have a feast for you, he wants us to, we don't want sourpuss Christians. Come on. I want to be full of God's grace. I've been alive. I once was lost, but now I'm found. If you're happy in the Lord, say amen. You're happy and you know it, then your face should surely show it. Oh, Lazarus, do you think he was walking around worried about, well, somebody's talked about me? No, sir, he was free in the Lord. Oh, one touch of the master's hand, amen. It didn't stop there. Go to John chapter 12, verses 9 through 11. And much people of the Jews therefore knew that Lazarus was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake, but that they might see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. Look at verse 11. Are we there? Because by reason of who? Lazarus. Many of the Jews believed on Jesus. And when God raises you from the dead spiritually, and he sets you free and sanctifies you, and you rejoice and you feast in his presence, I'm telling you, you cannot keep it to yourself. You got to tell somebody on the job. You got to knock on the door of the neighbor. And say, let me tell you, there is something more, something better than drugs, something better than whoever broke up with you. There's something better than this old world. His name is Jesus. And that's what we all should do. What he's done in our life, we need to publicize it. We need to tell, you know, people are dying and going to hell. People are starving and people are in their grave clothes and they're dead. And are we just going to keep it to ourselves? Are we just going to go home and not make a difference? I pray many times, Lord, help me to be a witness to somebody today. I want somebody to believe on Jesus. I want somebody to see in me what good the Lord can do. It's called a testimony. Can you say amen tonight? Number one, we see this miracle historically. He truly died And Jesus delayed, and God's delays are not his denials. He's still working, and he's there when we don't think he's there. Number two, we see this redemptively. This speaks of the person who gets saved, who goes from being dead all the way to sharing the gospel. And then finally, this story speaks to us eternally, because I want to bring this to a close, because I do want you to understand we will physically die one day. One day we will be laid in the tomb. One day we'll be the guest of honor at Joyner's Funeral Home. And one day they're going to put a gravestone over. If you just read the book of Chronicles, for those of you who read your Bible through, and this one begot so-and-so and he died. And this one begot so-and-so and lived 300 years and he died. This one, yeah, they lived 300 years back then. I don't think I'd want to live 300 years now, would you? This one lived so long and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. It's terrible, that song that Queen came out with in the 70s, Another One Bites the Dust. I saw that on YouTube. I just ran across that video. Another one bites the dust, and another one's gone, and another one's gone. And I thought, they're singing about this? This is depressing. People actually dance to that? That's terrible. Another one gone and another one gone. I know it has a good beat to it, but it's a terrible song. But it's a truthful song. John chapter 5, verse 25 gives us hope. Verily, verily, I'm going to tell you that death is certain and taxes more than likely if you live in America. But let me tell you, friend, eternally speaking, the child of God, our attitude toward death should be a light and a witness to this world, because we are facing death not with remorse, but with resolve. We are facing death with hope. There is hope. John chapter 5, verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Please understand, friend, that there is to all of us, we're going to hear our name, and our name will be followed by these words: come forth. You lay me at the cemetery, but I won't stay there forever. For some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. There's coming a great getting up morning. Death is, dust shall sing. Praise God. This is not my fight. Ain't no grave going to hold my body down, because he's the resurrection and the life. I look at the grave for the Christian like a safety deposit box. Amen? I'm just leaving it there for a while. But now, please understand, when you die, your spirit goes immediately to be with God. Isn't that great? How do you know that? Well, what happened when Stephen died? That's exactly right. When Stephen died, he said these words: I see Jesus. I want you to know that when you die, people say, well, the angels will greet you and grandmother will greet you. And that might be true. They might be part of it. But I'll tell you, Jesus is going to greet you. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord, present with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Paul said, if I stay in this world, I know I can help you in your faith. But he said, if I depart and go to be with the Lord, he said, for me, that's a whole lot better. Amen. I think Siri's getting saved back here. She said yes. Amen. That's my phone over there. That's why I don't take it to the pulpit. Oh, my friend. Please understand, for the Christian, there is hope. Paul used the word departure in Philippians 1 and 2 and 2 Timothy 4 and 6, which in the Greek language is a rich metaphor. To the soldiers, it meant taking down the tent and moving on. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 and 8. To the sailor, it meant loosening the ropes and setting out to sail. Farmers used the same Greek word to describe removing the yoke from the oxen. Peter used the word exodus. The word departure is actually the same word transliterated exodus to describe approaching death. In other words, in 2 Peter 1 and 15, he said, my exodus is about to come. And that's exactly what death is. Oh, it's me taking down my tent and getting ready to move on to victory. victory. It's for soldier. It's me like being in a ship, loosening. And when I pastored down east for 3 years, and I never saw boats like I did. And they would, the ropes would hold those boats, and you turn that rope loose, and that boat would begin to move on out. And that's what's going to happen. The ropes are going to be released, and I'm going to go sailing on home to glory. Amen. And I love how farmers say, "I'm removing the yoke from the oxen, brother. I'm yoked in this old world. I got taxes to pay in this old world. I got responsibilities and burdens and friends and foes and family and issues. But all that yoke is going to be released, and I'm going to be free." As the man said, at last, death is a glorified thing for the Christian. Oh, my friend, it is an exodus. I'm going through the old chilly Jordan. Red Sea is going to depart, and old Pharaoh might try to get me, but he can't touch me no more, because I'm going to be over there in the promised land. Somebody needs to praise God that there is hope. We are coming forth. He is the resurrection and the life. I close with this as the Wilsons will come. But I heard about a man and a woman. This was in the Depression. They had a baby girl. And they loved their little daughter like anybody would. And just be on standby if you don't mind. And their little daughter got sick, and she was afraid of the dark. I remember I used to be afraid of the dark. I remember I was terrified of the dark. I always liked to sleep with a light on. I just could not. It was just hard for me to when I was a little kid. And so when I heard the story, I understood. And so the little girl got sick, and she died. And as long as the mother and father lived, they kept a light at the grave. Now, you see that often now, battery-powered lights at the tombstone. Back then, they didn't have battery-powered lights. They kept a literal light at the grave. And somebody said, "Why are you doing that?" And the mother and the father said, "We're doing it because our little girl was afraid of the dark. So we leave a light at the grave." And ladies and gentlemen, we may be afraid of death. I think we all are to some extent. Even the most spiritual among us. But I can tell you this. There is a light at the grave for the Christian. There is a light at the grave. I want you to stand with me here tonight. Somebody said this. And I close with this tonight. Somebody said this. No one is ready to live, or no one can truly live to the fullest, who is not afraid to die. Now, friend, are you a spiritual zombie tonight? Maybe you dress well, maybe you give to charity, but you've never known the Lord. You've never asked Him into your heart. Really, you're a spiritual zombie. Are you afraid to die tonight? Like I said, we all are afraid of it to an extent, but I tell you honestly, I'm not afraid to die. I'm really not afraid to die, because I know that's coming sooner or later. I'm telling you that when death happens, it's going to be a glorious thing for the child of God. So do I want to die? No, I want to live. I want to see things happen. I'm still a relatively young, amen, young man at 48. I still got some dreams, and I still got some callings on the inside of it yet to come to pass. And I want to, and God gives us the desires of our heart. Amen. And why would He give us desires and not see us fulfill them? So I want to do what I can. But friend, the honest to truth is, if somebody hits me in a car, or I die suddenly, or something happens, I promise you, friend, Brother Ricky is going to be shouting on the streets of glory. Hallelujah. And 1 minute in heaven, 1 minute in heaven, and you'll never see somebody go to heaven and be like, "Oh, you know what? I think I'd rather go back." No, sir. Brother, when they get over to heaven, people are like, "Well, do our loved ones see us?" You know what I really think? I think they don't care, man. They're so over there in glory, they wouldn't want to see us in the mess that this world is in. But one thing is for sure, they may not can come back to me, but I'm going to go to them. I want you to know I'm a dead man walking tonight. I'm not a zombie. I've heard His voice come forth. And the question is, will you hear His voice tonight? He's calling you to come forth out of your sin. He's calling you to come forth out of your misery. He's calling you to come forth out of your pain. You don't know what somebody did to me, but I know what he did for you. He's calling you to come forth. You do not have to stay in that situation. He's calling you to come forth tonight. Brother Wilson and sister, if you'll go ahead and sing right now. And I want us to bow our heads tonight. And I want you to lift your hands tonight to hear the voice of Jesus. Your hope seems to be dead. Your dreams seem to be shattered. But he's calling you forth tonight. You may think he's late, but he's right on time here tonight. Night. Go ahead. Sing that with them tonight.
Oh,
I am the resurrection.
Jesus.
Come forth tonight.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
I'm the resurrection and the life.
Love me.
Sing it again tonight.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love
He's not late. He's on time tonight. He is ever present.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
Come forth. Come forth out of your depression. Come forth out of your pain. Come forth out of your sickness. Come forth out of your sins tonight. He is here. Whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Come out of that depression. Come out of that misery.
Oh.